Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, please. And we'll read at verse 10. Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, in this delightful story of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ and angels appearing to shepherds. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. My interest is to emphasize just a part of that angelic message tonight. Unto you is born a Savior. And in fact, my interest is to try to emphasize just one word in that verse, and that word is unto. Unto you is born a Savior. Luke, as the rest of the Bible does, speaks about the Savior. Luke makes it very clear that there is only one Savior. There are four times that I would know of in Luke's writings that he refers to the Savior. And the first one is in the previous chapter from where we have read, where you will find that Mary has a theme for her singing. And those who know the Savior will find that joy comes to their hearts when they think of him. And as Mary is singing or exulting in praise, she is giving joy, expressions of joy in her heart to God, my Savior. I think that's most significant. That Mary is the one, and there are people in the world tonight that would credit Mary with being a way to God. And yet Mary herself says, there's only one Savior. The Savior is God himself. No individual, no member of the human family alone would be sufficient to be the Savior. My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. So Mary is speaking with words of appreciation about the one who is the only Savior, the one who is God himself, God, my Savior, the source of joy. Could I tell you this for a moment? I would have intended to say this, but when I think of Mary exulting and her spirit rejoicing in God, my Savior, I hope that it's clear to all tonight that we are preaching a message of salvation. That is a message of urgency, the need to be saved from an imminent danger, the danger of perishing for eternity. We are preaching solemn issues. Nothing that you will ever hear in your lifetime is more serious than the message that we are preaching tonight. And yet, the other side of it is this, there is nothing more joyful than the joy of knowing the Savior. I would like to tell you tonight that the happiest day of my life, the most important day of my life, is the 16th of April. For in the year 1961, on the 16th of April, I was a 16-year-old teenager. And I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. At that moment, he became my personal Savior. And I can tell you tonight that with Christians I love to sing, Oh, happy day that fits my choice. And be my Savior and my God. Let this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. My friend, tonight it is the best thing in life to know. Savior, that we are preaching brings joy to the hearts of men and women. And if nothing else reaches your heart from the latter part of the meeting tonight, I trust that God will rub upon hearts in this gathering tonight. There is something in life that I would love to have. I would love to have the joy these men are preaching about, the joy of knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. Oh, tonight it's a wonderful thing. Mary was exulting, rejoicing in God, my Savior. There's her appreciation. In the book of Acts, Luke is likewise writing, and he speaks again about the Savior. He reminds us of the acceptability of the Savior. This one who was on earth to provide the only possible way of salvation hath God exalted to be both a prince and Savior. He is God's Savior. We are not tonight presenting to you our Savior, the Savior that's linked with our religion, the Savior that's linked with the general teaching of most people in this culture and nation. Could I tell you that we are preaching God's salvation? Our message is not by human design. We are not free to rather tailor our message to suit the culture in which we are speaking, or to tailor our message to satisfy the intellect of people or the varying philosophies of individuals. We are challenged by God to preach God's gospel. We cannot tonight change the message. It's the best message. We wouldn't change it. But we are the best message. We wouldn't change it. But we are not at liberty to change it. What we are preaching tonight is God's message. We have not consulted with any group of men for permission to preach this message. Nor have we been commissioned by any group of men to bear their message to others. If it sounds self-assuming, I hope you will understand we do not mean it in this way at all. We believe that God has charged us with preaching this message of a Savior who God has exalted. He is the only Savior. But as well, this one is the one whose acceptability has been declared by God. And Luke tells us that in chapter 13 as he records Paul's first public message in the gospel. And Paul is telling us that this Jesus, this one who came from heaven, God has raised him to be a Savior. He is the one that God has set forth. He came with all the words of the Old Testament scripture, announcing his coming, announcing where he would come and how he would come, even in an extent when he would come. And this is the one that God has raised from the dead. This is the one that God alone will accept as Savior. I should tell you tonight that his resurrection from the dead is a most important truth. It reminds us, it declares to all ages, that the one who bore sins at Calvary, the one who came to suffer and die, has satisfied every claim of God. He must die to pay the great debt of sin. If there remains anything unpaid, if in any way God is not satisfied with the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ, he must remain in the dead, among the dead. But all the great truths of Christianity, what should be the message of the Bible, the message of Christianity, the message of the gospel that we preach, that every other message is this. We declare a Savior who is lived, who went and God has accepted his sacrifice. If you tonight are hesitating to trust Christ, could I tell you that all the power of God stands behind the Savior whom we preach? The power of God to forgive your sins. The power of God to communicate life to you. God alone can do it, and God will when you trust Christ. I think there might be someone in the meeting tonight, and you would like to be saved if you could somehow or other have a guarantee that your life will be changed as you know it should be. Because I want to tell you, when you're saved, your life will change. No person should ever trust the Savior with the hope that somehow they'll be able to live as they have before. If you are not tired of your sins, you're not ready to take Christ. But if there's some soul in the meeting tonight, sin sick and weary, tired of an empty life, tired of the light going down the broad road, aimless and hopeless, unsatisfying, could I tell you tonight, there is a Savior who has power to save you, power to change your life. You just simply need to put yourself in his hand. Just simply trust yourself to Christ. And I can tell you tonight, the power of God is effective to everyone that trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But from Luke chapter 2, the fourth mention that I'm calling your attention to in Luke's writing, I want to point out to you the availability of the Savior. Unto you is born a Savior. I could point out to you, first of all, that what the text does not say. It could well have said, among you is born a Savior. There would be a tremendous message of truth. If the word of God said, if the angel from heaven said, among you is born a Savior, that would tell me something of the great truth of heaven's condescension. It is absolutely the case that among you is born
a savior.
I have often thought as I've looked at the moon, not on a night like tonight, I don't think we'll be able to see the moon, but on a clear night I have often thought as I've looked at the silvery moon, it's amazing to me that it really, I met a person one time that was still convinced it was all hoaxed by the U.S. government, that there were men that went to the moon and stepped on the moon. I think it was true, honest to do. But it's amazing to me that men were actually there. And when my mind goes to that, I think, and most marvelous of all is this, God was actually here. He did not come to visit Earth as some appearance of a being. God came to visit his own planet as a lowly man, a carpenter in Nazareth, a man of the world despised by his own people. God was here. Oh, I wish tonight I could charm your heart with the great story of the unmeasured condescension, the grace of God. Listen to the word of Paul as he described this tremendous subject. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. How though he was rich, we've been reminded tonight something of the eternal riches, the infinitude of God, that though he was rich, the eternal, the infinite, the omnipotent God, though he was rich, that for your sakes, he became poor. So poor that he lived in despised Nazareth. So poor that his tax money was paid by a coin that was found in the mouth of a fish. So poor that friendless, he died in shame upon a rugged cross. So poor that the prophet Daniel says Messiah shall be cut off and have nothing. He gave his all at Calvary. Nothing held back in sacrifice. All devoted in love to guilty sinners. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, and you and I could never grant our rich, yet for your sake he became poor, and my heart will be exploring eternally how poor the eternal Son of God became for my sake. And says the apostle, that grace of the one so rich who became so poor was that ye through his poverty might become rich. Oh, we're telling a story tonight that has charms above every story that human ears have ever heard. That the Lord of all came into his own creation as a babe. And he came into this world lowly that he might, like a lamb, be led to slaughter. To give his life in sacrifice. To redeem men from their sin. To redeem men and women to God. Oh, tonight, what a wondrous story it is. That he came. There's nothing that can be compared to it. There's nothing. But it'd be a poor idea if I criticized the illustrations of others. But sometimes as I listen to illustrations, I learn. I have a mind sometimes that doesn't work the way I wish it did. It works contrary. So I question at times. And I have heard it suggested that about the story of a man, was he in India, and he looked at a mountain of ants, and his shadow falling across the anthill caused them to scurry, and he thought to himself, if I only could communicate to you that I don't mean you any harm. And he thought, the only way that I could ever communicate with those ants is that I myself would become an ant. And then I could tell them that I don't mean them any harm. For one creature to become a lesser creature
in order to communicate with that lesser creature is a kind of a noble idea. But I want to tell you tonight that it in no wise encompasses what is involved when the Creator became a creature to communicate to that creature that God is love. Well, I want to tell you tonight there's nothing like it. And we are telling the story of a real God who has sent His Son as a real man into this world to convey to a world of sinners the real love of the heart of God for a world of guilty men and women. And that God tonight has a real personal interest in every soul that is in this gospel meeting. And heaven would long tonight to fill your life with something worthwhile. Would long tonight to take you from the quantum of a wasted, empty life and the eternal result of sin against your Maker. There's a God tonight who longs to save you and bless you. That God was here. He was here, the Savior God. But the text as well does not say, and it could have, because of you is born a Savior. Because of you. That tells us something of the truth of earth's crisis. God in heaven looks down upon a world of men and women, and there is one supreme need. The greatest need of our society today is not how to equitably divide wealth. The greatest need of our society today is not how to administer justice in the court systems with equal fairness to all. The greatest need of the world today is not some global ruler who will somehow or other be able to bring peace into a troubled world. The paramount need of the world tonight is the need of a Savior. The greatest need that you have ever faced or will ever face is your own spiritual need before God. Is it any wonder then that there has been a tremendous united effort to bring you together tonight for this meeting? There are those that have prayed, perhaps many in the gathering tonight. Your name has been mentioned in prayer by a number before you have come to the meeting tonight. And there will be those that the Lord may not come after this meeting who will meet together to pray once again that God will use His word to save men and women. There are people who are interested in the greatest need of your soul, your need for sins forgiven, your need to have the Savior as your Savior. I want to emphasize tonight the words of the Lord Jesus. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I would like to appeal to the heart of some young person in the meeting this evening and tell you again. Perhaps you have heard this voice so often in your soul, but to tell you again tonight that if you gain all your ambitions in this world, and I'll tell you very forthrightly, you never will. But if you were to gain all your ambitions in this world and lose your soul, you would be a better loser. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I say again, you would be a better loser. You would lose the joy of God's salvation. You would be a loser for life. And I'm going to tell you tonight, you would miss heaven and you would be a loser for eternity. Not simply because you would have missed the call and blessedness of the Savior's presence in heaven, but your soul will be doomed eternally. There is nothing in the world more important than being saved for eternity. Oh, may God write the word we have listened to repeated at the opening of our meeting tonight. May God write it solemnly upon the hearts and minds of those who are in the gathering tonight. My friend, heaven sent a Savior because of you. God was interested that you might not lose your soul. God was interested that you might be brought into the blessing of eternal salvation. Because of you, is born a Savior. There is no other way for a man or a woman to be saved for eternity, no other way but through this Savior. Listen again to the words of Peter on the same subject. neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And this evening, if the Lord Jesus is not your Savior, if you're not trusting Him, you may be an outstanding citizen. You may be very well respected by others. You may be involved completely in charitable, kindly work for others. But if you are not saved, your soul will be lost forever.
If you cannot look back to a time in life when you received this Savior as your Savior, there is no hope for you tonight. Nothing for eternity but to lose your soul. But you see, the text could well have said it would be true because of you was born this day a Savior which is Christ the Lord. More than that, it could very simply have said for your eternal blessing, the Savior is born. Let me simply tell you tonight, what is God's divine order? To preserve your soul, to save your soul from being lost. The great issue that must be settled is your own sin before God. That there is no way to overlook the subject of sin and preach the gospel. There is no way to overlook the subject of your sin and somehow or other slip into God's salvation. God requires men and women to fix the reality of their sin. And as good a citizen, as good a character as you may possess, could I tell you tonight that compared to the standard of the holy character of the God of eternity, you and I stand on the same level. We are all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And until the great matter of your sin between you and the God who is holy is removed, there is no hope of your soul ever being saved. And you see, here is the great reason for the Lord Jesus coming. Unto you is born a Savior. This one was born a Savior to take care of the great matter of sin. God in heaven has made it abundantly clear that there is only one way by which sin can be removed. Perhaps you'll remember one of the opening stories of the Bible. A story of two boys brought up in a privileged environment. One of those boys decides it's time for him to bring a little gift to his friend God. And so, Cain decides, since he's a tiller of the ground, he's going to bring to God the very best that he can bring. God is, you know, a good friend of mine, and God and I are on friendly terms, and so just as you would do to someone you admire highly and think a lot of, and your affection would be expressed in it, Cain brought his best. Now Cain has a younger brother, and he likewise is going to bring something to God, but it's not going to be some gift to a friend. Abel realizes he must bring a sacrifice to his God. And so Abel takes one of his flock, and he takes the life of that little animal, and he lays it down as a sacrifice to God. Now, could I tell you tonight that when God accepted Abel and his offering, God did not express a preference of the animal sacrifice, meat, as compared to vegetables. Nor did he somehow or other express a different attitude that he had initially to Abel as compared to Cain, or some personal preference between the two. Unto Abel and to his offering, God had respect. God accepted the offering of one, and the very simple reason is this. Abel recognized his sin and recognized there needed to be death as a result of the penalty of his sin. And when that man comes on that basis to God, that man is accepted. But a man that overlooks sin and tries to come to God on some other basis is not accepted with God. And my, if I took the time, I think I could show you in the words of the Lord Jesus, I perhaps could show you in all the scripture tonight the very same principle.
God only accepts men and women on the basis of the blood sacrifice of Christ. God only will bring men and women to heaven on the basis of a sacrifice. Sin requires a sacrifice. Nothing else will remove the crimson stain of sin in the eye of the Holy God. For you is born a Savior. Your sins demand a substitute, a sacrifice. He came, the Savior, by sacrifice. We could not preach tonight the gospel of the Savior without telling you of the cross where He died. Our brother reminded us on the first night of these meetings that the heart of the gospel is this: Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Could I simply ask you tonight, because I would dread to close the meeting tonight without being absolutely clear. I would be very concerned that there should be anyone in this lab gathering tonight that would leave this tent with a mistaken idea. Let me but ask you directly, what are you hoping in to take you to heaven? Upon what are you basing your optimism for eternity? Rather than tonight try to weed out all the different possible answers, let me tell you simply and forthrightly, anything less than the Savior and His sacrifice at Calvary will never take you to heaven. It is not Christ plus something else. We sing sometimes, and I love those words, the cross of Christ is all my boast. His blood, my plea, my passport to the realms of bliss. Jesus died for me. Oh, my soul, in the meeting tonight, that Savior came from heaven. He came to earth to take care of the great matter of sin, to be the sacrifice, so that He might be your Savior. For you is born a Savior. I have spent all the time tonight telling you what it doesn't say. I can simply then try to express to you the value of what it does say. There are times in the year when parents will write a little tag on a box gift wrap. And on that tag, it may say your name to you, from mother and dad. The only practical day is sometimes we'll stash that away in the closet. It's not for you. Although it's intended to be to you, but it's not for you. Not yet. And then the excited time comes and the children can hardly sleep tonight because tomorrow morning the gift is going to be given to them. And they'll go through all those tags and if it says to me, grab it up, take it away, and stash it till they get a chance to tear into them all. Heaven is announcing in Luke chapter 2, not only is the Savior for you, He came to suffer and die at Calvary, but heaven is saying He's to you. He's available to you to take tonight. There's not one thing that you need to do to prepare yourself to receive the gift. There's not one thing heaven needs to do to prepare the gift for you. At infinite cost, the preparation has been made. Christ has come. He has gone to Calvary. He has suffered for sins. He is raised from the dead. God is satisfied. And God is offering to a world of men and women tonight a free gift of salvation. Are you a Savior? Oh, we're thrilled to be able to tell you tonight that there's not a soul in this gospel tent, no matter what your background, no matter what your disposition when you walk through the open doors tonight. Christ is available to you. You can be saved tonight. Away with the madness. But He's only available to a selected few. I want to tell you tonight, heaven's doors are flung wide open, and Christ is available to you, whoever you may be. And the gift that is available to all will only be yours when you receive it. Is there a soul in the closing minutes of the meeting tonight who realizes this? I have gone long enough on the dark road to eternity. I have traveled far enough without the Savior. I'm tired of sin and wandering, Lord. Now I'm coming home. If there's some soul in the meeting tonight that would like to leave this tent with the greatest possible gift, yours. Is there some soul in the meeting tonight that would like to leave the tent with the Savior, yours for eternity? I cannot reach where you are, but the Spirit of God is right beside you tonight. And He is bringing Christ to you. And all the value of His sacrifice is available to you tonight. All His power to save is available to you tonight. And heaven awaits your answer just at this present moment. Guilty and helpless. Wow. Will you receive the Savior? Will you claim Him as yours? Will you simply trust Him to save you for this world and to save you for the world that is to come? Unto you, as clearly and plainly as I can declare heaven's message, Christ is for you tonight. He has suffered at Calvary for guilty sinners. And God is telling you just now, He can be yours. Tonight. Just now. God grants you might take Him. Leave this meeting tonight. Absolutely sure. He came for me. He suffered for my sins. He is my Savior. I will trust Him for eternity. Let us pray. Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we commit thine unfailing word to Thee. How serious the issues that we have dealt with tonight, and how wondrous the provision in our Lord Jesus. We would long for our tongues to be able to speak more clearly, to tell more fully of Him. We ask, Lord, that Thou wilt bless Thy word. Draw some soul tonight to Calvary, to that finished work. Yea, Lord, to that exalted Savior. Grant there may be some soul tonight who will receive God's offer through the Word of God, will trust the Lord Jesus and be saved for eternity. Grant Thy blessing then upon us. Separate us with Thy preserving care over us. We thank Thee for the suitable weather. Thank the Lord for Thy good hand in every way. Thank Thee that the day of grace has extended to this present moment. For how long it will extend, we do not know. We ask, O God, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that Thou wilt grant that souls tonight may not put this great matter off another moment, but tonight may receive the Lord Jesus and be saved for eternity. We pray in His precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we again thank you for coming. If we are not to be privileged to shake your hand and thank you personally for coming, we want to thank you just now for your interest and presence with us. Remind you of the meetings in the next 2 weeks, which will be the closing 2 weeks of these gospel meetings, and would encourage you to return as often as you can, if possible, night by night at 8 o'clock for these meetings. And then, if we can be of any help to you, we are interested in taking you to the Word of God, that you might receive the Lord Jesus Himself for yourself. Men and women receive Him through the truth of the Word of God, and if we can be of any help to you, we will be at the doors. We will be happy to give you help. If you wish to remain in your seat, do so. Friends who can help you will try to do so from the Word of God. But in the name of my God, could I tell you tonight, this is the time to be saved. Do not pass this opportunity. It is for eternity. In our closing, we will sing number 99. Hymn number 99, Sinner, How Thy Heart Is Troubled. God is coming very near. Do not hide thy deep emotion. Do not check that falling tear. Verses 3 and 4, Art Thou Waiting Till the Morrow? Verses 3 and 4 with the chorus, and our meeting will then be closed.